And somebody said, well, is there any way that we could sail a ship to the East Indies? And they said, well, no, dummy. Don't you know the only way you can do it is sail the ship to the northeast end of the Mediterranean and then go by land? And somebody said, well, what would happen if we sailed the other way? And they said, well, dummy, don't you understand that the world is flat? And if you sail out there, you're going to sail right off the edge of this sucker. Now, I don't know why they believe that. I guess that somebody went out there, sailed that way, and didn't come back. And they assumed that they had sailed off the edge of it. But here comes Columbus. And Columbus was big enough to believe differently. And he changed the whole maps of the whole world. He changed the history of humankind simply because he was able to believe differently. You know, Columbus followed a little procedure.
Little formula, and you'll write down these key words because they're important.
That the world is always known. That if you're going to change anything, there is a certain procedure you have to follow. And the first thing you got to do to change anything is to be willing to do so. Circumstances are what makes people willing to change. Trying to find the new trade route to the East Indies made Columbus willing to change his belief. The second thing you have to do is you've got to be willing to change that belief. And Columbus said, I believe that the world is round. I don't believe it's flat. He made one of the most drunk statements anybody's ever made. He said, I believe you can get east by sailing west. If that isn't drunk thinking, I don't know what is. But his belief didn't do him any good because he's still standing on the shore of the ocean when he expressed the belief. Some days, weeks, months, years later, Columbus made a decision. He said, by golly, I'm going to go find out whether this thing is round or flat, whether you can really get east by sailing west. But his decision didn't do him any good either, because he's still standing on the shore of the ocean the day he expressed that decision. Some days, weeks, months, years later, Columbus began to take some action in order to carry out that decision. He went to the king of Portugal and tried to get the king to finance the trip. And the king, being a very astute businessman, said, Columbus, there's no way I'm going to let you have this money. You'll sail right out there and sail off the edge of this sucker, and I'll lose it all. That's why he ended up with the Queen of Spain. Sweet-talked her out of the money on the promises that he would bring back gold, silk, and spices. He took the money. He bought three ships. He put provisions in those three ships. He put crew members in those three ships. And they began to go east by sailing west, day after day after day after day, sailing straight west. Now, we don't know for sure, but we suspicion that probably on that first trip, he hired a special sailor, put him on the bow of the lead ship at night with a lantern. And he said, I believe this thing is round, but if you see the edge of this damn thing, you holler, don't get turned around. Now, after having taken that action, he got results. You always get results from actions. And the results was he found land on the other side. Now, we know he thought it was the East Indies. It wasn't. It's the West Indies. But he had proven himself that the world is not flat. It is round. You won't sail off the edge of it. He turned around and came right back to Europe. Went right back to the Queen of Spain. And she said, Columbus, where's the gold, silk, and spices you promised you would bring me? And he said, sweetheart, I didn't find any. But he said, I'll tell you what. If you'll refinance me, I'll go back. And this time I'll find them. And she gave him some more money, and he got some more ships. He got some more crew members. He got some more provisions. And they began to go east by sailing west with one big difference. This second trip, he didn't hire the special sailor, put him on the bow of the lead ship at night with a lantern, because he went back in faith. He knew now that the world is round. And you can't go start out with faith. You can only start out with belief. Now, what I'd like to say to you today is the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous are brand new. The world's never seen anything like them before. But if I did, I'd tell you a lie. Because they're based on the same procedure that Columbus and every other human being has ever used to change anything in order to change their life or whatever it is they're wanting to change. Now, in order for you and I to recover from alcoholism, the first thing we have to do is to be willing to change. That comes through step one. You know, when we're hurt enough, when we can see that what we're trying to do is no longer going to work, when we can admit we're absolutely powerless over alcohol, then we become willing to change. Until we can make that admission, we keep trying to do it ourselves. We become willing to change in step one. Step two is we believe we can do so. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three is a decision to go after that power. And we're going to find, the same as Columbus did, the decision's not going to do any good unless we take the action necessary to carry it out. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And in step 12, we get results. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. You see, I no longer believe that God will restore me to sanity. I know that He will because He's done so. Now, those of us that have had the spiritual awakening that's been restored to sanity, we can go back and we can help the next newcomer come to believe. And then they can make a decision. We can help them take the action and the steps. They'll have a spiritual awakening, and they can go help the next one come to believe. There's only one thing we can't do for the newcomer. We can't make them willing. That's a job that they have to do on their own. Now, how does an alcoholic become willing to change? Very simple. Drinking whiskey.
A lot of it.
And when you drink enough of it, then you become willing to change. And I had a guy not long ago tell me, he said, I've been in AA 4 years, been working on step one in AA for 4 years. And I said, no, you haven't. I said, you don't work on step one in AA. You work on step one out there, drinking that whiskey. And when you drink enough of it, then you're ready for step one. Then you're willing to change. Then we can help them come to believe. We can help them act. And they'll have a spiritual experience, just like Columbus changed the whole world based on the same formula. A very simple little deal that starts with belief. If I know I need the power, if I know the beginning of the finding of power is to believe or even be willing to believe, if I know the procedure to follow to find the power, I've just got to know one more thing now, and that is, where am I going to find that power? And I think we get here to AA just as confused about where God is as we were ever confused about what God was. You know, I got a picture in my mind as a kid growing up in church. I don't know whether I saw it or dreamed it. But to me, God was a tall, elderly gentleman standing on a cloud up in the sky. Long, flowing white robes. Long, flowing white hair. Golden halo around his head. Sun rays shooting out of that halo, and a big stick in his right hand. Now, I don't know whether I saw it or I dreamed it, but I think one of the reasons I thought God was up there is because I noticed every time the minister wanted to talk to God and talked about God, he always pointed up there all the time. But then I noticed when he really wanted to talk to God sincerely, he always looked down here. He pointed up. Hell, no wonder we get confused about God when we're kids in church. And I looked, and I looked, and I looked, and I never could find God. And the reason I never could find God is I didn't know where God dwells. It's only when I came to page 55 in the big book Alcoholics Anonymous that I began to realize where God really does dwell.
Several years ago, I was working, started his halfway house, and there was a little young fella in there that he asked me to be his sponsor, and he said, what do you think I ought to do? I said, well, number one, I think it'd be a good idea if you got a job and got out of this halfway house. And he said, well, easy for you to say. I don't have any wheels. I could get a job if I had a car. I said, well, I'll take you back and forth and help you find a job and then take you back and forth to work to get a couple of paychecks. He said, well, fine. So he found a job right away, and I began taking back and forth to work. And he told me a story one morning on the way to work that changed my life. All the time I'm thinking I'm helping him, and now he's going to help me. And the story went like this. He said that there was these three wise men from the east who stole from man and woman the crown of life, took it away from them, the thing that would make them the happiest, took it away from them. And they said, well, what are we going to do with this now that we took it away from them? One of them said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take it to the highest mountain on the face of the earth, and we'll hide it in the highest crevice, and they'll never be able to find it there. The other two said, yeah, but you know how they are. They'll hunt, and they'll search, and they'll eventually find it. The other one said, I'll tell you what, we'll take it to the deepest, deepest ocean and the deepest crevice in the deepest, deepest ocean. They'll never be able to find it there. The other two said, yeah, but you know how they are. They'll eventually find it. He said, the other third one said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll hide it within himself, and he'll never be able to look for it there. Is that odd, or is that God?
Page 55, first paragraph.
He said, yet women see another kind of light, a spiritual liberation from this world. People who rose above their problems. They said God made these things possible, and we only smiled. We had seen spiritual release, but like to tell ourselves it wasn't true. Actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, child is a fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other it's there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. See, we're just born with it. We finally saw that faith in some kind of a God was a part of our makeup, just as much as the feeling we have for a friend. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was there. He was as much a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within us. And the last analogy is only there that he may be found, and it was so with us.